Trying again, 10 a.m. Cider never counts. Open your mouth to dry toast. Open your mouth to cups of tea. Sausage fat ribbons down your tongue, stretched skin on frame and clamped, chipped white on plate. Open your mouth to hot yolk, yellow globes under the seal. Open up to your second meal. This will only ever go one way of two. Cut through each spread, feel the handle of the knife wade right through. And the toast was burnt, just for you.
Hi there, and welcome to the newly relaunched Far Off Places podcast. Far Off Places is a magazine of written whimsy featuring poetry and short-form prose and drama. And starting us off today was Trying Again, 10 a.m. by Jake Reynolds. Trying Again, 10 a.m, an appropriate enough name for the newly relaunched podcast, was the opening piece of our most recent issue, The Second Breakfast, which appeared in March. I'm Annie Rutherford, I'm the editor-in-chief at the magazine, and I'm delighted to be co-hosting today with Jessica, who is on the other end of a microphone, effectively, which is quite exciting.
Hello!
Some of you may have been aware that we've got two new editors on board the literary magazine Far Off Places at the moment. That's Jessica Johannesson-Gaitan and Adam Lelange. They've been wonderful. They came on board to help with the epistolary edition, which is our next issue, should be coming out in the summer. And we enjoyed working with them so much that we managed to persuade them to stay with us for a bit. So we'll be working in collaboration on the issue following that. And our next podcast will have details of submissions, so do stay tuned. For now, though, we want to talk a bit about the podcast, talk a bit about where we see it going and why we think podcasts are important.
We should maybe say as well that we are following regular Far Off Places tradition. We are currently in two different countries. Annie is in Göttingen in Germany, and I'm sitting here in Edinburgh in Hillside next to Calton Hill. So you can place us on the map as well as virtually.
Absolutely. Far Off Places is very much what it says on the tin in that respect. If you were a regular listener of the Far Off Places podcast, you'll know that this is something that we used to release about twice a month. And sadly, over the last year or so, it experienced something of a Sleeping Beauty moment. But we're now kissing it back to life. We're hoping to release two podcasts a month over the next few months. And Jessica and I will sometimes co-host these, sometimes we'll take it in turns to host them, and we'll both be presenting pieces from our most recent issues and going back through our archives, where of course we've got some wonderful gems that we're quite looking forward to digging out and bringing out into the sunshine. Jessica joined Far Off Places, or became initiated into the community that is Far Off Places, many moons ago when her short story The Readers was published in our third issue, Under the Bed, which started with one of my favourite opening lines, "Always keep your readers close." Is that correct?
That would be right. I think it was back in, if not 2012, then 2013?
I think 2013, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite appropriate that someone who came in with a piece about reading out loud is now one of the new hosts of our podcasts.
I remember there was a wonderful reading at Far Off Places, gathering and reading at the Meadow Bar. And this was in September of 2013. And I was so very nervous because I was starting off the readings. I was first out on the floor with the readers, actually. So in a way, it was really lovely to be invited to do that, but it was also slightly terrifying. Quite a lot of people came, and yeah, it was lovely. I really enjoyed it.
We had more people than chairs, I remember that.
Yeah.
Long-standing tradition at Far Off Places readings. If anyone listening hasn't heard Jessica's piece, The Readers, or hasn't read it, you can either get your hands on a copy of Under the Bed, or you can go back through our archive of readings and you'll find a podcast in which I read The Readers. and so you can figure out what we're talking about. But the narrator in this story has readers in every room who all have different voices and different temperaments and who read to him when he's in that particular space. So which room do you think it's most important to have a reader in?
I was just thinking that I know which one I wouldn't like a reader in. I think maybe that more than anything was what prompted the story, that there was this slight discomfort in thinking, in comparing the isolated activity that reading can be, where you can essentially read anywhere. You can read in the bathtub, and that's a very intimate and isolated moment a lot of the time. And or the reading out loud is also a very sociable thing. And combining these two would just can't be anything but catastrophe. Or in this case, that's what happens, at least.
And so what do you think a podcast is? Is that intimate, or is that public, or is that something in between?
Well, that's part of what's so nice about it, I think, that you are bringing somebody else into that isolated room of reading, and you're essentially having that voice speaking to you. You can be out in the middle of the woods listening to a podcast, and yet you get, I mean, take something like the New Yorker podcast, which goes out to I don't know how many thousands of people, and there can be a lot of different people listening to the same voice at the same time as you are. So it's just really interesting. There's this fascinating mix between the communal space and the individual one, as it were.
I think one of the reasons I was really keen to start the podcast is partly that I like reading aloud. It was a very selfish activity in a way, but also that I think people really respond to stories and they respond to poems in very different ways. And there are some people who would always prefer to have that isolated moment of lying alone in bed reading. And there are some people who would always rather hear something. And I think that's something that's really quite exciting about technology at the moment, that we can say, okay, we can have all of these options. Those don't have to be exclusive things.
A lot of the time they actually go together, because you can definitely be quite alone with your podcast. I was just out running today listening to a podcast for an hour and felt like I hadn't seen anyone at all, even though there were people all around me. So it can be, it invites you into a very special and very exclusive place in a way.
I'm wondering now where our listeners are while they're listening to this podcast. It's quite interesting, actually. We, at some point a couple of years ago, we were applying for funding. And we had to offer statistics of how many people subscribed to the magazine and how many people bought the magazine. And that was the moment when I realized that actually our podcast was the way that most people actually
interacted with the content. Yeah,
absolutely. Which perhaps isn't that surprising, because, of course, the podcast is the free option of interacting with our content. And obviously that is a factor. But I thought that was quite exciting, really.
Absolutely, I think so too. I think it also brings out the question of which texts lend themselves to reading aloud the most. And actually, it's not the ones that you would think most of the time. And this applies to poetry as well as stories. When you first think of a text and you try to imagine it being read out loud, and you go, no, that wouldn't work. And then you actually try it out, and all of these hidden sounds and layers come out, and it's quite extraordinary. Whereas it can go the other way around as well. You can look at a text and you go, right, well, this would totally work out loud. I can't see any problems. And then you start reading it and you realize that there are all these different voices, and there's dialogue all the way through. And dialogue in itself is something that's quite tricky, I think, to read out loud. So it's surprising. It's just a wee journey of discovery, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's particularly the case for the authors as well, because we do a mixture of sometimes authors record their pieces for us and sometimes we record them for the authors, which hugely depends on audio recording equipment. So if people are in Edinburgh and can go and sit with Jess and record their piece and have an interview, that's wonderful. If they're somewhere that isn't Edinburgh and isn't Göttingen, which is quite likely, really, and they don't have their own recording equipment, then that's something that we offer to do for them. But obviously, we always check each piece with the author and make sure they're happy with it. On the whole, I think most people have been really happy with how we've recorded their pieces in the past, but they've also quite often been surprised, which is interesting.
I think most people get really excited at the prospect of having somebody else read their work. I remember that's been the case with me. I definitely didn't want to read my own story, actually, for the podcast. I was really looking forward to having you read it. And then really interesting and quite funny moments may arise.
I assume you're responding there to my wonderful Spanish accent.
There is this one wee character in my story, The Readers, that he's a pool cleaner.
He's a pool boy. Honestly, Jess, I know your story better than you do.
I do. And I think I wrote in the story that he was Spanish, and
yeah,
he basically just has one or two lines in the story. And Annie sent me the recorded version, and I was really excited, and I read it. And then when the pool boy came forth, I burst out laughing because you'd given him some sort of Russian accent.
The only accent I can do is Slavic. It's not good.
So, I mean, things like that can happen. But then on the other hand, that's just part of it. And it's really exciting and just a lot of fun, I think.
We chose two pieces today, mentioning that, which were read by the authors themselves, which is also quite exciting for us because, again, it's the same thing as for the authors. You've got this piece and you've worked so intimately with it as an editor that you've read it so many times and looked at the capitalization at the beginning of lines so many times. Then you suddenly hear it in a different voice and you notice different things about it.
I was just going to say as well that a lot of the time with Far Off Places, because of course I've only recently joined and just seen the submissions coming in for this coming epistolary edition, they come from all over the world, really.
Yeah.
And especially a lot of them come from the US. So some of the times, if we get people recording their own work, it'll come from somewhere quite far away. And there's a very lovely aspect to that.
Yes, that's very true. And again, I think that's the sort of wonderful thing about the possibilities we have with the digital and with technology at the moment, that there are things about Far Off Places where I really do feel that it's a community, that we have authors who submit every edition. One of our American authors now goes and does archery with our graphic designer, who also lives in Boston. And, you know, I've known about the births of grandchildren and about the illnesses of friends, of writers who sometimes I've met and sometimes I never have. And that's really special and really an honour in many ways. And that's something where you think, wow, that's possible because of all of everything that's developed in the last 20 years, perhaps.
That's delightful. That's really nice.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. On that note, I think it's time to have our second piece of the day. This is a poem by Juliet Wilson. It's from our second issue, which was actually the first issue we started doing podcasts with. So very fitting. Juliet lives in Edinburgh, so she was able to come along to my flat a couple of summers ago and record this for us. And it's quite a fitting piece, given that we were talking about communication and the possibilities of communication from very different places. So this is Space Satellites Above the Iron Age Fort by Juliet Wilson.
This is a poem inspired by an archaeological dig I did in Podobwachy in Poland. Space Satellites Above the Iron Age Fort. Crossing the fallen tree river bridge, we trekked through dark forest to the Iron Age Fort. We camped among the meadows where horses dragged heavy ploughs through wildflower-patterned grasses. Dusty days we excavated an ancient fireplace and catalogued the coins we found. Nights at the campfire, we watched satellites blink through Orion's belt.
That was by Juliet Wilson, as I said. Juliet can generally be found in Edinburgh. normally either watching birds or films or scouring secondhand shops for things to make into crafts. That's when she's not writing, teaching or making crafts from recycled materials. And if you want to find out more about Julietta, about her work, then you can look at her blog, The Crafty Green Poet, at craftygreenpoet.blogspot.com.
At the beginning of the podcast, we also heard a poem by Jake Reynolds. After having one of his poems read out on BBC Radio by Miss Moneypenny, Jake Reynolds has accepted that weird and wonderful experience come from doing weird and wonderful things and continues to write poetry every day. Jake is a student on UEA's English Literature with Creative Writing course, and he steers clear of the Holden Caulfield wannabes with their excessive scarves and instead tries to maintain the theory that poetry doesn't have to be written by people who try very hard to look and sound like poets.
We're going to wind up for today. Huge thanks to Jessica, who has been co-hosting and who's really been a huge motivator behind getting the podcasts up and running again. Jessica Johannesson-Gaitan is someone who finds choosing one thing over another very difficult, whether that's languages or genres. She digs the in-between. She grew up in Sweden with Interludes in Colombia. As you've heard, she now lives in Edinburgh with her partner and their Corvid trinkets. In addition to the readers in Far Off Places Under the Bed, you can find her work in magazines such as The Stinging Fly, Structo and Ink, Sweat and Tears.
Right, so thank you very much, Annie, for having me. And we both really look forward to relaunching the podcast and seeing you again in a couple of, or hearing you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Absolutely. If you can't wait until then you can check us out on Facebook at Far Off Places. Unsurprisingly, Far Off Places is also our Twitter handle. And we're at faroffplaces.org. So if you want to get your hands on either The Second Breakfast with Jake Reynolds' piece in The Back of Beyond with Juliet Wilson's, or if you're curious about the readers and Under the Bed, then faroffplaces.org/sales. And you'll also be able to find out more about Jess and Adam, our other co-editor, on our blog from this week. So do have a look at that. And until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you.